Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness. Thou hast been gracious and merciful, and Thou hast been kind to us in our weakness and in our failings, in our shortcomings. Thou hast not dealt with us according to our sins, but according to Thy mercy, and we thank Thee. Add Thy blessing to us now as we study, and help us for Thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen. As we go along in our study of the Sermon on the Mount, we come now to the 7th chapter. And as we come to this concluding chapter in this sermon, we come across a number, we find here a number of very sharp and penetrating statements that has to do with our attitude toward things and has to do with the quality of people's conduct. I think we might very well keep in mind as we're studying this that this is the kind of truth that comes out from the nature of God. God being what He is, these things are true. Let me now read in the 7th chapter the first few verses that we shall be considering. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now this is a statement that would go out over the whole wide world. This isn't only true for Christians. This is true for all men everywhere. This is just as true as thou shalt not steal. This is just as true as thou shalt not kill. What we're having here is that God in Himself, in dealing with us, takes note of us to see what we're like. Now, you know, if you were dealing with anybody, suppose you were dealing with children. You know you wouldn't treat a baby of a year old the same as you'd treat a boy of 10 years old. You know perfectly well that you'd ask yourself, how much did the child understand? How much did the child know? And according to how much the child understood and how much the child knew, you would treat that child that way. You know yourself that you have dealt with certain children in a certain way. Perhaps you've been rather harsh with them, and suddenly you realize they don't even know what the trouble is. Immediately you are milder than you were before. Or perhaps in another case, you start dealing with a child in a mild way and seeking to help them, and you find out that the child is actually impudent. The child knows what you're talking about and is actually impudent. And immediately your manner becomes more stern and more harsh. Now, God doesn't have to wait to find out. He knows. But He reveals something of His attitude right here to us. And here is a strange and in some ways an almost frightening thing. God will deal with me according to my understanding of things. Let me word it to you now in this connection here like this. If I can be critical of anybody else's work, God is specially critical of my work. Suppose I say about a certain job that this man didn't do right because he didn't put in the full time. That means I know you ought to put in full time. Well, then, believe me, I'll be judged of God if I don't put in full time, because I know that full time is necessary. I realize, you can tell I know, because I criticize the other man for not doing it. Suppose I happen to see a certain person who is unkind, and I see that this man is unkind to another man, and I say in my heart, he shouldn't be unkind. Well, now, you can mark it right down in your book that if I'm ever unkind, God will judge me. Why? To get even with me? No. I know that much, don't you see? I actually know that much, and I show you I know it because I criticize the other man. Now, if you were dealing with a baby wouldn't recognize it. A baby wouldn't know what it was. A baby wouldn't even know when you were this way or when you were that way. Then, if the baby isn't this way or that way, you wouldn't specially judge it. Now, this is the significance of what we're reading. We read, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Now, actually, it isn't just your capacity, but it's your action that's included. And this is a rather striking thing. It would appear that even if I saw faults in people, but I did not judge them, I didn't criticize them, I didn't evaluate those faults and penalize them in my mind, it appears, according to what I've just read now, that God would take note of my attitude in that thing and would treat me that way. And I could be spared. If I'll spare the other man, he'll spare me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, is exactly what you have here. Now he goes on to say something further. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? The mote is a very small piece of wood. You'd call it like a little splinter. And the beam is a very large piece of wood, like you'd call a plank. And what you're having here is, why are you paying attention to the little splinter that's in your brother's eye when actually you've got a beam in your own? It isn't so much a little splinter. Let us say that in your vision, so far as your own seeing things is concerned, you see this other man, you say, he doesn't see it straight. What's the matter? Well, he's got something wrong in his thinking. He doesn't see it straight. It is as if he had a hair across the lens. It just blurs the picture. He's got something there that interrupts with it. All right. Now, this is be the case. He's got a mote in his eye, and the Lord is saying, why don't you consider the beam? It's as if you had a whole plank across your own, as if you had a whole blackout of part of your own vision here. And how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye? You know, we're always so anxious to straighten the other fellow up. Now, if we have the disposition to go and straighten the other fellow up and clarify his insight, help him to get his vision straight, we're going to correct him, we're going to get away his shortcomings, we're going to fix it so that he won't be short anymore on this thing, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. You're the very one that's got something wrong with you. Now, when the Lord Jesus says, thou hypocrite, the word hypocrite means two-faced person. You don't have to take it over to be too ugly an insinuation, but it's a pretty ugly thing. It's a two-faced person, a person who looks one way at the other man condemning him and another way at himself excusing himself. You know, if the Lord would notice it in me, if I was very harsh in my condemnation of other people and very generous and indulgent in my estimation of myself, God would call me a hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite would be. You act one way one time, another way another. This way you're hard and that way you're soft. You're hard toward other people, soft toward yourself. That won't go with God. Now we read on. Thou hypocrite, you person with two ideas. You're two-faced in the sense that you're two different ways of doing things. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Start in on yourself and get yourself straightened out. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that of thy brother's eye. This is all in itself a very sobering line of thought and speaks to us, of course, very directly. Now I want to include the sixth verse, and I'll read it just now. I'll come back to it again in a moment. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The reason I wanted to read it there is because it belongs in here as a wonderful corrective, if you will. You've just been told in the first five verses, don't judge. In the sixth verse, you've got to judge. Don't you see? How would you know who the dogs are? And how would you know who the swine are? You've got your eyes open, and you know perfectly well when a man is obedient to God and when he isn't obedient to God. It would appear something like this, that in the matter of judging people, it's a matter of sentencing them the way a judge does it. And that means appraising their motivation. Now, don't judge another man's heart, but you can certainly judge his conduct. You should certainly take note of the way he acts. Now, you don't know why he acts that way. Leave that to God. And you don't know what it means to God when he acts that way. You leave that to God. God may know that that man doesn't know any better. And what he does, he may be doing ignorantly in unbelief. And if you did what he's doing, you could be very, very wrong. So don't judge the other man's motivation because you don't know what it is. But you can judge the other man's conduct. Now, why would they use the word dogs and swine here? Well, dogs are generally considered that of all creatures. I think the very simple truth here, and it's very inelegant, it would, as far as the Bible is concerned, it would say that so far as a dog is concerned, he doesn't have very much taste with reference to what he eats. He has no sensitivity with reference to what he eats. I'm not going to say any more than that, but you look along in Scripture and you'll find out. The dog will eat stuff that other creatures wouldn't eat, you see. That's one thing. Now, what he's saying here is, if you're dealing with somebody that doesn't have any sense, doesn't have any taste, doesn't have any feeling for things, give not that which is holy unto dogs. Don't spread out the things of God, the holy things of God, to people who don't care about them, who just treat them as if they were nothing. nor cast your pearls before swine. Now, why in the world would you do that? And why will they turn again and rend you? Well, I guess only the person that's ever been in a farm where you've had pigs know what this means. Let me tell you something about pigs so that you'll understand this whole thing. They get very hungry. And when they're hungry, they're what we would call rapacious. They want to be fed, nothing else but. They will squeal and they'll make up a noise, and you come near them and they'll just raise a big commotion. They want to be fed. And when you throw in things, they eat greedily. Now suppose that the pigs, the swine, came to you and you were to feed them. And let us say that you threw in pearls. Well, if they would just bite on them, they'd just think they were gravel. They'd think they were just stone. They'd trample that underfoot. They'd just get their feet in the trough. And as far as those pearls are concerned, they'll mean a thing in the world to them. They'd just be stones to them. And they'd turn again and rend you, meaning they're still hungry and rapacious. They'll just come after you. What they're looking for is barley. They don't know anything about pearls. What the Lord Jesus is saying here is that in dealing with other people, especially in spiritual things, you shouldn't talk about all spiritual things to everybody. The Lord may have done some things with you. You shouldn't tell everybody about it. If, for instance, if you start talking about what the Lord has done with you, and there is present somebody that will just laugh at you, that's a good time to keep quiet. You may not like the language. I wouldn't especially want to press it on him, but the Bible will tell it to him. He may be, with reference to this, insofar as you're giving him, just like a dog with reference to food. No sense of taste. And then in the second place, actually, he may be looking for something else altogether. And it's one of the tragic things that you deal with some people and you try to help them, and when you finish talking, you just wasted their time. They don't even want to listen to you. This is the way in which the Lord would help us to be cautious in the way we deal with people. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts. Make us careful that we don't criticize other people's motivation to judge them for what they do. At the same time, make us very careful and discriminating in the things that we will approve and the things we will accept. For thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.